An elevator.
I'm getting worse as the years go by.
Everybody's getting worse.
I can hardly stand going in an elevator now. I want to scream out something. Of course, alone you're all right, but a lot of people.
Yeah.
You don't know where to look. If you look up, people will think you're a visionary, or you're seeing things, or you're on something. You can't look at anybody, or you're a masher. If you look down, with me, there's no point. Because of my, I'm a little bit overweight, so I don't like to do that. So I just want to scream,
Call now.
We'll stand by as Don takes his call.
Wait a minute.
There's no, don't cover up my call.
No,
you go ahead, broadcast the call.
All right.
Elma?
There's a tune that
sounds
talking
like
to the
dusty room.
This is the behind-the-scenes
in
voice.
An old dusty room. It's
talking
like
where Don can't hear me. Right now, he's looking up a new record, talking to our record librarian.
And where would it be?
Just awoke. Normally, she's asleep at this time, and this will ruin her humor for the rest of the day. And so when I say good morning to Elma,
okay, I'll see
later this morning, I will be very, very nice. Because she is very strong and hurts me if she's in a bad humor. Did you take care of that?
You talked the whole time.
I know, because
you drove me cuckoo.
You got the name of it. It's on the other side of that one.
Okay, I don't know. Okay, let's forget about music. Good on. Would you look at the Judy Collins number 19 disc and see if what's on the other side?
What do you got to say?
I'm so sick and tired of flowers.
I'm talking about the
state flower of the great state of California, the golden poppy. And now is the time to propagate golden poppies. Here's what you do. You get your poppy seeds, mix it with some sand in order to give it bulk, and broadcast them.
Roast it?
No, not roast it.
Roll it in paper and look out, daddy-o.
Do you remember, Charlie, Poppy's Golden Poppies? The tune that you sang as a youth? Poppy's Golden Poppies.
Would you sing it for us, old dirt dog?
That's all I remember. You'd like me to sing, wouldn't you? Hold me up to ridicule.
I won't do it.
And if you remember in yesterday's episode, Super Frog and Pollywog had rented a light plane and started across the trackless wastes of the Sahara Desert. They developed engine trouble and at last had crashed on the desert. Just before we left them, they heard high on a hill from a fort.
Oh boy, are we lucky that we crashed here.
You know, this is probably the only fort, Polly, within 10,000 square miles of this thing here, this desert.
It's only about a quarter of a mile to start up the hill.
This is going to be tough sledding, say in the trade.
Oh, boy, this
hot. Boy, can you imagine being out here for a living or something?
Wish I hadn't worn my sandals.
That's just...
Clean up my athlete's foot, though.
I'll burn it right up.
Duppy, duppy, duppy.
This is tough.
Can I walk in your shadow?
Certainly, certainly you can. That's the least I can do for you.
I walk in your shadow.
You know what's happening here. I'm afraid.
You're small.
Because what's happened? Cool it, will you? My wart gun's heating up.
Hey, that's an idea. Why don't we shoot a few warts ahead and step on those?
Yeah.
Will they heat up?
We didn't bring that many spare cartridges.
Not warts.
We better get here pretty soon. I think I'm starting.
People 1,000 years from now, we'll come out here and find hot warts.
You really are a cheerful cuss to be in the middle of the desert.
Here we are at the gates.
All right. Are the gates open? No, yes. We can just squeeze through here. Hello? Hello, anybody here in this fort?
Hello?
Hello?
Seems empty.
Somebody played the trumpet.
Boy, it's spooky. Ooh, a phantom trumpeter?
There's a rusty camel. There's a rusty camel over there.
Maybe I should drink.
Well, it's the sand. Sand. Somebody better show up.
Pardonne-moi.
Oh! You frightened me.
I hope, sir.
That was your intent, eh?
That's right.
Boy, you're a dashing man in a dashing uniform with a white thing around your back inside a handkerchief.
Permit me to introduce myself.
Please do.
I am Lieutenant Colonel André Prévert. of Her Majesty, Lat Fuselier.
Lieutenant Colonel, are we glad to see you?
Welcome to the fort.
Thank you very much.
It's all right. Who is the little frog?
That is my associate, Polly Wog.
Good to see two of you.
Bet you've never seen a frog way out here on the desert.
Well, we have a whole fort full. If you were to use the slang.
Well, I wouldn't do that, because that might be offensive. I thought of using it, but I didn't want to offend you.
Yes. Do you have your peppers?
Peppers?
Peppers.
Peppers?
Do not fool with André Prévert.
What's he talking about, Polly?
I think he means our papers.
Oh, papers.
Polly?
Peppers. Just a moment. I have to try to fool him here, because we have crashed here, Lieutenant Colonel.
So I am well aware of that.
We are pepperless. Why, that's an ominous laugh.
This is my opportunity. We have not had this ceremony for years, because we haven't had no one to have this ceremony on.
Ceremony on?
And now, my friends, you are going to be shot against the wall.
Friends? What do you mean, now, my friends? You gonna shoot us?
Never mind, quibbling.
Company. It's an advertising agency, Osborne and Associates in San Jose. I would like to read Tom Fuzzy Wuzzy and His Magic Wagon. Once upon a time, people were content to journey down the road of life on their own 2 feet. Should one of the group stumble, those who were nearest the unfortunate travel would simply extend a hand to help the fallen one return to his feet. This custom worked wonderfully well and allowed the group to make excellent time. Now, one traveler named Tom Fuzzy Wuzzy despised walking and constantly lagged behind the other travelers. Indeed, Tom spent a great deal of time cursing the fact that he was forced to walk like the others. Walk on your own 2 feetism is evil, Tom would shout to the other travelers. Most of the others would smile patronizingly and continue with their journey, but occasionally someone would stop and question Tom about his idea. Perhaps walk on your own 2 feetism is evil, they would respond, but what other way is there to travel? Now, Tom did not have the answer to this question, and he began to spend a great deal of time thinking about the problem. Tom thought and thought, and then one day he hit upon a wonderful idea. I'll build a wagon, he exclaimed, and after I've built my wagon, I'll let everyone ride in it, and no one will have to walk. Tom immediately began to construct his wagon. He stole a few nails from one place, planks from another, tools from another. After many tedious hours of work, he finally completed his wagon. Tom was very proud of it. Called all of the travelers together to show off his work. Let's all get aboard, Tom shouted. We won't have to walk on our own 2 feet anymore. Everyone climbed aboard the wagon. Tom, of course, moved to the front of the wagon and took control of the steering device. Not only have I figured out a way to keep from walking, he thought, I will also be able to steer the wagon and thus control the direction of the entire group. After everyone was comfortably seated in the wagon, someone turned to Tom and asked, who's going to push? Now, Tom hadn't thought about this problem before, and his mind began to race in an effort to come up with a solution. Tom thought long and hard, but was unable to find an answer. Finally, in desperation, he whipped out a gun and trained it on the occupants of the wagon. You will have to push the wagon, screamed Tom. Frightened by Tom's gun, the people jumped to the ground and began pushing the wagon. Naturally, the people did not push the wagon very fast because their hearts weren't in it. From time to time, Tom would call for them to push faster. If you will push the wagon fast enough, everyone will be able to jump aboard and ride, shouted Tom. Many of the people did not see how this would ever be possible, but they were afraid to express their doubts aloud. The foregoing system of travel became known as compulsory free ridism. Now we'll have to go to chapter 2, which is about Tom's brother. And we will go to chapter 2 after the news, because Tom's brother has another idea. I think you'll find it interesting. It's a minute and a half.
Sherwood reads the yellow pages.
Dietitians, diffusers, air, directory holding files, dishwashing compounds, dishwashing machines. Isn't that wonderful? Anytime. In chapter 1 of Tom Fuzzy Wuzzy and His Magic Wagon,
And it gave us this idea that the foregoing system of travel became known as compulsory free ridism. Now, Tom had a brother named Jake Fuzzy Wuzzy, and Jake had watched from a distance while Tom was building his wagon. He greatly admired Tom's wagon, but didn't like the way Tom had resorted to force in order to get his wagon pushed. Free ridism is a wonderful idea, thought Jake, but people should not have to be forced to push. After much careful thought, Jake hit upon a scheme that would get the people to push the wagon without having to resort to force. He kept his plan to himself, and he began building a wagon of his own. He copied Tom's wagon to the very last detail. After Jake had completed his wagon, he invited the people who traveled with him to climb aboard. Once all the people were aboard, Jake passed among them and gave each of the riders a long pole. "You will now push the wagon with the poles," he explained. Jake then proceeded to the front of the wagon and took over the task of steering. From time to time, as the wagon creaked forward down the road of life, someone would complain about having to push Jake's wagon. "You used to have to walk," explained Jake, "but now you're riding." This logic would confound the complainants, and they'd continue with their pushing. It would, however, pause occasionally to scratch their heads in puzzlement and reflect upon what Jake had told them. The foregoing system of travel became known as voluntary free ridism. And the last chapter reads, "From time to time, Tom's wagon and Jake's wagon would meet. At such times, Tom and Jake would argue violently over who had the better system of propulsion. On several occasions, they even exchanged blows. Once, while Tom and Jake were arguing, the pushers from two wagons began talking. 'We're sorely unhappy with free ridism,' stated a man from Tom's wagon. 'Tom keeps telling us if we push the wagon fast enough, we'll be able to get in and ride.' 'I don't think even Tom believes this anymore,' he continued, 'but he has no intention of admitting it.' Another pusher from Tom's wagon broke into the conversation. If he did admit it, he'd have to give up his nice, soft driver's seat. 'Well, it sure was wonderful when we could walk on our own 2 feet and didn't have to push the dead weight of Tom's stupid wagon,' another one of his pushers added. All of Tom's pushers agreed that they were also tired of having a gun pointed at them all the time. 'Of course, we don't have any guns pointed at us,' stated one of Jake's pushers, 'and we do all get to ride in the wagon. But we used to make a lot better time when we walked on our own 2 feet. Yeah, we didn't have to push Jake in that heavy wagon.' Free ridism is lousy. We've all been deceived," everyone agreed. All at once, the pushers began to dismantle the two wagons. One of the pushers grabbed Tom's gun away from him and chased both Tom and Jake into the forest. And as a final gesture, the incensed pushers set fire to the two wagons. "Long live walk on your own 2 feetism," they shouted as they proceeded on their journey down the road of life. Moral: if someone offers you a free ride in his wagon, be sure to ask to see the horse before you climb aboard. That's a story in book form called Tom Fuzzy Wuzzy and His Magic Wagon.
It fouls the air.
Yeah?
Well, all right. But today's okay.
Today's okay, Carter, but this is it.
Well, as you might know, you have a bet with me on that.
Well, I have a bet with several people, and it amounts to several hundred dollars.
Save your money. Yeah. Keep it in cash. Keep it in cash.
Okay. Charlie just threw up his hands in dismay because he... Charlie, you won't notice a simple change in my personality. Not a thing. No, I will be exactly the same. Sorry about that. But it is going to be a fair day.
Oh, boy, I fell.
It's 24 minutes past 6. Carter had a couple of engagements last night. It was up late. And you know, if you're an early morning riser, the stuff can catch up with you. This business of staying up late. So I said, why don't you go back in the other room and take a nap? Take a little nap. Nobody will miss you.
Right.
See me. Goodbye. Bon voyage. See you. It's 24 and a half minutes past 6 o'clock.